Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Brother Wade. We'll be with you in just a second. We're having a little technical difficulties over here, so I don't want anybody to be worried. Don't want anybody to be concerned or anything like that. We are doing our very best. All right, here we go, guys.
Well, have you ever noticed that people of a character stand out in our society today? If we even look at Congress and other leadership positions, we see that we rarely ever see or hear of anybody that's standing up for what's right. And, you know, if you think about it, that's really a confusing thing. And that is what we're going to be talking about today. Like I said, it's so rare for somebody to stand up for the truth, somebody to stand up for what God says, and we really need to get to work on living our life the way that God had intended for us to go. Now, when somebody stands up for themselves, it's possibly, you know, because that when they stand up for what's right, when they stand up for everything that's right in God's eyes, they look at, you know, they seem to be, for lack of better term, oddballs, or maybe even radicals, or out of the mainstream, because people just don't get it. And I'm quite upset, I'm quite disturbed by the way people do these things, is because they don't understand and they don't live the way God had them intended. Well, just in case you didn't know, my name's Brother Wade Gable, and welcome to the Powerhouse Radio Network. You're listening to our weekly PowerCast of Absolutely Apostolic and Passionately Pentecostal. I want to thank you for taking just a few minutes of your time today and to share and to be with us. And as you can probably tell, I'm on my bandwagon today. I'm going to be talking about politics, but it's not the way, to be honest with you, not the way that you think I'm going to be talking about. I want to talk about just a little bit about a gentleman by the name of Jephthah. Now, he, if you don't know who Jephthah is, he's actually the ninth judge of Israel, and you can read this back in the Old Testament, but he was the ninth judge of Israel. And he was a man of impeccable character and, you know, integrity. Now, I guess you could say that he stood out among his brethren because, just to be totally honest with you, they had little or no character themselves. So when you got the world, just like we do today, when you got the world saying that it's okay for a man to walk into a women's restroom and do whatever, you know, we don't have any characters in the men. And so when somebody stand up for what is right, when somebody stands up for what is true in God's word, they look like an oddball. But I'm here to tell you today, we need more statesmen in our political arenas, statesmen of character. Now, a statesman makes decisions based on what's best for that generation that they live in, where a politician makes decisions based on what's best for their next election. Now, where are the people of principle today, with core values which cannot be blown out by the winds of, you know, some kind of polls or some kind of popular opinion? Jephthah, he's a great example for what is, you know, what's great about a politician or a statesman. Now, we look in Hebrews 11:32, we see that what God's word says, "And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets." Jephthah, he had a character in the face of difficulties, and he had a character in courage any time he had to face danger. I can't even talk today. character in the face of danger is very difficult. If anyone had an excuse to blame their failures on their past, it was Jephthah and the upbringing that this guy had. To start off with, he was an illegitimate child of a prostitute. And really, there's no such thing as an illegitimate child, if you will. I'd rather say it's an illegitimate parent. Now, abortionists say this child is not wanted, so this child is not valuable. That's what today's abortions, those that agree with abortion, let's just put it that way, my mind's gone blank. They say that this is a child not wanted, so this child is not valuable. But the circumstances in which a child is conceived does not determine the value of an innocent child. This is why I and other Christians reject abortion, even in the extreme cases of rape or incest, because it's all about the child. It's not about the parents. I know that sounds tough. I know that sounds controversial, but I'm not going to hide how I believe. Now, in the case of rape, you don't kill the child. You kill the rapist, and that's according to the Bible. Don't blame me. That's what God's Word says. But because of the circumstances of his birth, Jephthah was branded with a birth from birth with some kind of stigma. He was excommunicated. He was ostracized. He was, exiled by his own half-brothers. Now, a lot of times, you know, it's just like his brothers. You're not welcome here. We disown you. You're not part of this family. So what they did was they pushed him out the door. They threw him out. So he departed to another place. Now, when he got there, he got in with the wrong crowd. And he became what we might call today as a gang leader. He's leading this band of criminals and these desperados. So here we have, he's the son of a harlot. He's ostracized by his family. He's a gang leader. And yet, in the end, he's named to God's Hall of Faith. Now, I wish someone would hear what I'm saying today. Only God can do such a thing. Now, I want somebody to hear me. Your past does not have to determine the future, your future. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you have been in the past, you can be unshackled from your past. You can rise above your past. It's actually all you can get past your past. That's a good way to put it, but you may have no control over the character of your ancestors, and some of us don't. Some of us have got some pretty bad characters in our ancestors, but we cannot stop making excuses for them and stop blaming your circumstances for the lack of achievement that you have in your life on your ancestors. It has nothing to do with it. Stop assigning fault and start taking personal responsibility for your actions and for what you do. And your first step in all of this should be a trip to the altar of repentance, because that's where we all need to start. All Jephthah ever knew was failure, rejection, and poverty. He knew all that in today. But if Jephthah was here in America today, he would be viewed as a victim. Oh, poor Jephthah, they would say. Oh, poor guy. He would easily be diagnosed with some kind of made-up syndrome, and then all of a sudden he'd be put on some kind of disability drawing welfare. Now, don't get me wrong here, everybody. Don't start texting me. I'm on the chat, so don't start texting me. I'm not unsympathetic towards those with real needs. If you know anything about me, you know I happen to be one of those. But. You know what I'm saying is true about what's wrong with the overall system today. Now, I'm not going to call out any names, but I personally know this man who draws a disability check for a bad back. And routinely, I'm not talking about just every once in a while, routinely works on stilts, walking around in new homes hanging sheetrock. Now, you tell me if that guy's disabled or not. You tell me if that's not wrong. You know what? We do a great disservice when we allow people like this to use their background as an excuse for some kind of failure. We do a great service for them using that as an excuse. I can't even, man, I'm so messed up today. Some of the most influential people in history were folks who refused to be shackled by their past. We can look at Helen Keller, and we all know her. She was the deaf blind girl who learned to communicate. Now, you may have not known this, but she was taught by Ann Sullivan. Now, how did Ann teach her? Especially when at the age of 5, Ann had an illness that left her nearly blind. And a few years later after that, her mother had died. And 2 years after that, her father abandoned her. So what happened? She was sent to an orphanage. And in those days, they didn't have programs like we do today. So they fed her and they let her sit and they let her rot. That's exactly what they did. But see, Anne, she longed to go to school. And she longed to learn like the other children were learning. Now, Anne's persistence caught the attention of a visiting man who happened to be a state inspector. And when he seen Anne, his heart was gripped, and he paid personal attention to her to send her to the Perkins Institute for the Blind, which was in Boston. Now, she learned to read using Braille, and she graduated at the top of her class, which is an amazing accomplishment. And a few months later, she had surgery, which restored some of her sight. And a couple of years after that, she became the caretaker of a little 6-year-old girl that we were talking about, Helen Keller. Now, she used to be Helen for all practical purposes, and now all of a sudden here Ann is. She's now the teacher, and she's teaching Helen Keller. But up to that point, Helen's family had let her live pretty much like an animal. She was walking around the family table, just grabbing food off any way she could off of their plates, and then she would just shove it in her mouth. Now, there was no discipline for Helen. There was no control. Her parents didn't have no control over it. And to be honest with you, they was no efforts to teach her or to train her. But Ann Sullivan, she gave her time, she gave her love, and her heart to train and, you know, nurture Helen to the point that she could not only communicate, but she could get a college education. And eventually, traveling worldwide and speaking with Miss Sullivan and raising millions of dollars for the American Association of the Blind. Now, if you think about it, you're thinking about the story I just read you, here we have two ladies who refuse to let their past control their future. Now, I'm here to tell somebody today that no matter the circumstances you're in, you can overcome your past. No matter what it is, all you have to do is get God's help. Now, by the way, are we sure that we want to start down this slippery slope as a nation of having panels making, you know, decisions, deciding who's worthy or not to live, who has the potential? You know, some people call that a death panel. But that's a different story for a different day. I'm sorry, I'm getting off on subject here. As anyone but me, have you ever noticed that, to be honest, we no longer have drunks in America? Have y'all noticed that? All we have is just people who have been stricken with a disease that is called alcoholism. I can't even talk today. Well, if this alcoholism is a disease, then it's the only disease that is sold in bottles. It's the only disease advertised on television. It's the only disease that is self-inflicted by the will of man. And it's the only disease that has licensed outlets to spread the so-called disease. It produces revenue for the government, government. It brings violent deaths on our streets and our highways when you got these drunk drivers out knocking everybody out and killing everybody. And it's viral. I mean, you know, there's no germs. There's no viral cause. People's health, you know, it propels people to self-destruct, and it increases the, you know, crime. You cannot logically call alcoholism a disease. Please, you're a drunk. We don't do any drunk a favor when we tell them that they have some kind of disease. Now, I can hear you, and I see some of you sending me messages right now saying, oh, Brother Wade, that's so mean. Why would you say that, Brother Wade? Because when we call it a disease, we relieve them of personal responsibility. They're the ones that goes into the stores and pick up the alcohol. They're the ones that takes it, opens up the bottle. They're the ones that does all this stuff. And my phone is going off and I forgot to set it off. I'm sorry. But anyway, they're the ones that's doing all this stuff. They do it to themselves. Now, this is the same thing, I guess you'd say. It's true. The same is true about perverts, is what I'm trying to say. We say that they were born with an alternate lifestyle. But were they really born that way? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah, they were born that way. Uh-oh. I hear some of you now. Let me explain here something to you. We are all born with a sin nature. We all have behavioral choices, and we all need to stand up and take responsibility for our choices. Get God's help with it and get victory over it, but we need to learn to stand up for what's right. But if you never get the right diagnosis, you can never find the right cure. You've got to understand that. Our environment can influence us. Our environment can make us make bad choices, because I truly believe we are a product of our environment. But the lesson of the life of, you know, that I want to teach today of Jephthah is that you can rise above that. You can make the right choice. You know, Jephthah, he could have qualified as a victim, but he didn't go that route. If your birth wasn't a good one, I want you to stand up and I want you to take courage, because the Bible says that you can be born again. That's right. You have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And the Bible says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm here to tell somebody something today. God's grace is plentiful. His forgiveness is free, and His strength is sufficient for all your future. And even if your background is very dark, even if your background, you know, can be used, let's put it this way, even if your background can be used that as a black velvet background on which to display you as some kind of diamond in God's grace. But what we have to look at is character in the face of difficulty, and having courage in the face of danger was what Jephthah, he exhibited these. Now, if we continue on and we continue reading our story or our text, we see in verses 4 through 11 here that the Ammonites are now attacking the nation of Israel. Now, Jephthah, he had the reputation as being a bad dude. He was a tough guy, if you will. But he was a leader of his people, you know, that rejected him before. Now, what the people in Gilead did to Jephthah, it was what our nation has done today to God. They've kicked him out. And we only turn to him, we only turn to God in our distress. Now, we all know people like this. We all know people that come running to the altars just as soon as something bad starts to happening in their lives. We start coming on and we start running to the altars, but they have some kind of horrible situation in their lives, and they come up in their lives and they start running down to the altars and they say, "Oh, help my wife, help my kids, help me, help whatever." But as soon as the trouble clears away, they go back to the same lifestyle that got them in trouble in the first place. Now, I want to read a story here to you, and it's concerning a man back in the Korean War. Now, this man, he was an atheist soldier, and he was in a foxhole, and bullets were flying all above him and all around him, and some of his comrades were falling in the field nearby, but yet they weren't dead, so they were still over there, and they were hollering out for help. And this guy's commanding officer, he ordered him to leave his foxhole and go rescue some of his comrades. Now, when the CO turned his back, he hunkered down and he looked at his watch. Now, two others in the foxhole, they noticed what this guy did, and they wondered why he wasn't obeying, you know, the orders that he was given. Now, a few minutes later, the CO come up and he returned and he said, "Hey, boy, didn't I tell you, go get these guys out of that hole. Go help your fellow soldiers." And the soldier said, or the guy said, "Yeah, I'll go." And the CO walked away again. And he hunkered down one more time and he started looking at his watch again. Now, his buddies in the hole, they wondered what it was. Wondered if he was sick, wondered if he was afraid, wondered what was going on through his mind. Now, the third time the CO appeared, he said, and he was pretty mad about this time, and you can imagine he was livid with him, and he repeated his command along with the threat of punishment if he didn't go and do as he was ordered to do. Now, the soldier apologized. And he acted like he was leaving the foxhole, but as soon as the CO moved along, you know, to the others, he sat right back down. But again, he watched his watch, and he was looking at his watch for 2 minutes. Then all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, he fired out of the foxhole and went out there where the battle was raging on, and by the time it was over, he had successfully rescued several of his fallen comrades. Now, when it was all over, one of his buddies asked, "I noticed that you waited so long to obey that command that kept you, and you kept looking at your watch. Why did you do this?" Now, the young atheist man, he said, "I'm ashamed to tell you why, because, see, I don't believe in God. But my mother does. And the day I left for war, she gave me a Bible, and inside the Bible, she wrote several different hours at which she would be on her knees praying for me. And I was waiting for one of those hours to strike because I knew that under the cover of my mother's prayer, whatever happened to me, I would be okay." Now, this big, strapping soldier, armed to the teeth, claiming he did not believe in God until he was in danger. He is the model of what's happening in America today, my friends. He is the exact model of what's happening. Now, I'll give you one more example here before we start shutting things down. I've got just a few more minutes. Just after 9/11, Billy Graham's daughter, Ann, was interviewed by the Early Show on CBS. Now, at that time, the interviewer asked, "How could God let something like this happen?" And she answered, and she said, "I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are today. But for years, we've been telling God to get out of our schools, get out of our government, and get out of our lives. And being the gentleman that God is, I believe he calmly backed out." Now, how can we expect God to give us his blessings, to give us his protection, if we demand that he leave us alone? You know, that's some pretty wise words right there. I know I cannot be the only person in the world that finds it strange how the world trashes God and then wonders where he is when trouble comes. Where's God when the big hurricane hit New Orleans? Where's God when it hit New York? Here we have our hero of today, Jethro, and he said, "So, now you need me, huh?" That was his word. So now you need me. And if I help you, Jethro said, will you let me be your leader? Now, I want to ask you something here. God is asking America today a very similar question. If I deliver you, will you follow me? If we want God to be our Savior, if we want God to take care of all this nonsense that our government is doing, if we want God to take care of all this stuff, then we have got to let God be our Savior again. But see, he must not only be our Savior, he must also be our Sovereign. And that's the problem with the world today. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Sovereign. Jethro, he maintained his obedient faith in his courageous character without any compromise. And in the end of the story passes the ultimate test of integrity and keeps his word in the most difficult of circumstances. He followed God even when it hurt. Even when it cost him dearly, Jethro was there. Now, saints, that's all the time that we have allotted today right here on the Powerhouse Radio Network. And you have been listening to Brother Wade right here on our weekly power casting of Absolutely Apostolic and Passionately Pentecostal. And I want to thank you for spending just a couple of minutes of your time with us today. I hope that God blesses you all, keeps you all safe. Remember, if you're in the LJ, Georgia area, that we are having services on Wednesday nights. We're at the Stafford Inn in the conference room up there. We're looking to start a congregation over there, and that's the way God has us building the congregation. On Friday nights here in Douglas, Alabama, which is where I live, we have a life group that meets on Friday nights. We have a little Bible study, food and fellowship and prayer. We just have a good old time here. So I want to take time to invite you. You can email us, you can call us, text us, whatever you can. A lot of you listen from our Facebook links. You can contact me on Facebook if you're in the area, and I can give you more details. But until then, I pray with the deepest of prayers that God helps us all, keeps us all safe. Until next Friday night, or next Friday afternoon at 12 o'clock, I'm Brother Wade right here on the Powerhouse Radio Network. Until then, guys, God bless.